singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love.
Our young audience is saying,
what?
What is that?
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And I'm going to have to do a disclaimer right now.
And he why
chose,
is that?
He chose this song.
Oh, you put it all on me.
I said to him, it's not raining. He said, I know.
I know, but we did. We finally had some rain.
Okay. Is that it? Is that what we're celebrating? Okay.
That's what we're celebrating. And it was wonderful. It was glorious. It was, a day and a half of rain.
Yes, it was.
And I think you can look around your neighborhood. I think it's already making a little bit of a difference.
Everything freshened up, right?
It freshened everything up, exactly. So, but what we can't do, and we all know this living in Pensacola, we can't take that rain and say, okay, we got it now, everything's over, because as we know, that water just goes away. It just, you know, it's in our sandy soil. So we really do need to get back to our schedule, which I like, and I'm not sure the experts would agree, where we water three times a week, 30 to 45 minutes, depending on where you live. Gulf Breeze, a little bit more up near Pace, maybe a little bit less. But I think it's time to go with that, because we just can't, you know, we're glad we had the rain.
Right.
But we need to mean more.
It was a good soaking.
It was a good start.
A good start, but now.
A good start. It was absolutely right. So we need to be sure that we do that. Couple things. And this probably is, I don't want to say one of the most important things we talk about today. It's not. But remember now, the experts said if we're going to fertilize the lawn, and if you want to really follow the state extension rules, we fertilize the lawn in May.
Okay.
Well.
Guess what?
Guess what? Guess what month
May.
It is? It's May. And so if you have not fertilized your lawn yet, you're probably right on schedule. So go ahead and do it. And, of course, if you could ever fertilize that lawn and catch a rain like we had the other day, that's ideal. But if you are going to fertilize your lawn, of course, some of the very, very basic rules are, one, don't water. I mean, don't put out fertilizer on a wet lawn. You don't want those granules sticking to the blades of grass. Fertilize with a good fertilizer. Sometimes good translates to expensive, but
well, it'll be worth it this time.
It'll be worth it because you've got to have a good granule, slow release, iron, minor elements, all of those things in the fertilizer. It's very, very important. And then, of course, you need to do your arithmetic. We've talked about that before. You've got so much fertilizer over so many square feet, kind of figure all of that out. And you don't want to put too much, but you don't want to put too little either. So that's very, very important. And then, of course, you don't want to mow the lawn right after you fertilize, because then you're just going to suck up all that fertilizer into your lawnmower. So be careful. You know, pay attention to business on that. But it is time to go ahead and fertilize the lawn. No doubt about it.
And I know you've recommended before, but I'm sure we'll get a text saying, what fertilizers do you recommend?
Well, yeah, we always talk about numbers.
The formula.
Formulas, right. And my favorite is the 16-0-8. 16 being nitrogen, which is going to make it go. The iron in it's going to make it green. That middle number is not important. Phosphorus. We've got plenty of that in our soil already. We don't worry about that. The last number is potash, which we do pay attention to in the winter, because that's part of a good winterizer fertilizer, helps with that root growth. What you want is that nitrogen. It's 16% nitrogen. Now, if you go to the garden center tomorrow and say, wait a minute, he doesn't have any 16-0-8, but he's got a 22-2-2, you know, something on that, or 18-6-6, whatever. That's fine. Just be sure that you follow the instructions on so much per square feet. That's important. And that'll get it going.
Okay. We're talking with Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, if you just tuned in. And we're going to be here for the next hour talking about lawns and gardening and fertilizer and everything you can think of that has anything to do with anything being green. So on this Cinco de Mayo, if you've got a question for Mike, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Bruce just texted in a question. He says, is fertilizer from last year still good?
You know what? I like to use fresh fertilizer. Many times, if you, depending on where you kept it, if you kept it in your garage, it's probably nice and dry. It's probably okay. If I had a bag a couple of years ago, I said, well, I'm going to put it outside and put a plastic bag over it and keep it dry. Well, that didn't work. It turned into a rock.
Oh, no.
So I would prefer fresh. But if you've kept it, you know, dry in your garage, it's probably okay. What is not okay, in my opinion, is some of these chemicals that we use, using old chemicals.
Oh, right.
You know, I don't know. I don't believe you have an expiration date on it like you do on, you know, a gallon of milk
or
something else in your refrigerator. But I prefer to have relatively fresh products to put on the yard. It's just no reason to put on old fertilizer and old chemicals. When you go into all of that trouble to do it, be sure you have something that's going to work.
Okay.
That's important.
Well, great. Thank you for sending that question in, Bruce, this morning.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
And if anybody else has a question, and there's no limits here. We always cover lots of different grounds, so to speak, to get it.
Well, very good, Nick. Very good.
So 850-437-1620. But I know you've got – he always comes in with lots and lots to talk about.
I do have some things we want to talk about. One, we want to talk about our spring plants. We didn't quite finish that discussion last week.
Mm-hmm.
But also some spring perennials that are good to plant.
Oh, good.
However, we've got about 2 to 3 minutes before a break. Andrew
gave
me a piece of paper when I walked in that is an article from Real Simple Magazine.
Okay.
That keeps you organized, right? I said 28 health perks of gardening that can add years to your life.
Okay.
And we don't have time to go through the whole thing. Maybe we will someday, but right now, there's three key takeaways to this, right? Gardening supports a longer, healthier life by boosting mood, reducing stress, lowering risk of dementia and sleep issues, thanks to both physical activity and time spent in nature.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's the first takeaway.
Yeah.
The next takeaway is tending to a garden nurtures emotional well-being, offering a sense of pride, self-care, and a deeper connection to the natural world.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy stuff.
That's pretty good.
You know, you get out there and digging up dollar weed. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think you have to put at the end, you know how you put things at the end of a sentence, if you're good at it.
Exactly. And if you're doing something fun, like you're planting marigolds.
Right.
When you're pulling weeds, maybe not. Okay, the last one, last key takeaway. Growing your own plants encourages healthier eating, strengthens the immune system through soil exposure, and helps maintain physical fitness.
Ooh.
And that speaks a lot to vegetable gardening here in Pensacola, which so many people do. And the things I read say a lot of that, of the vegetable gardening and just gardening in general, has really increased in this generation.
Oh, well, for sure, because you can save a lot of money.
You can save the
money.
And
it tastes better.
Oh, absolutely. It's better for you. So here we are. We have these key takeaways on why gardening is great. We've always stated on the Garden Line, and I believe it's true, that this is the best or the most popular hobby in America.
I believe that.
Is gardening. And it's all different. It's different everywhere. I mean, it's different in pace than it is in Gulf Breeze, much less up north. It's so different. But you adjust to your climate, you adjust to your planting zone, which has been set by the Department of Agriculture, and you go from there. And if you go to any garden center this time of year, the color will just blow you away.
I know.
And making those choices about what to plant is important. We talked last week about some of the older, not older, but traditional annuals. But there's a lot of new stuff out there that you may just want to try. So, anyway, let's take a little break.
All right. We'll be right back. We've got lots of texts rolling in, Mike, this morning. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, our host. And we've got lots of texts rolling in, so we're going to try to get to all of them. So be patient with us. The first one in is for you, Mike. What do the numbers on Scott spreaders mean?
Well, the numbers, in my opinion, the numbers on a Scott spreader, and I don't use a Scott spreader, tells you how wide the opening is that the fertilizer goes through to hit the little propeller that that sends it out. So number, I'm not sure if numbers mean a whole lot here. I always say the opening in your fertilizer spreader should probably be about as wide as a number two pencil that you stick in there, and let that be how wide you open the spreader. Because different spreaders do different things. When you put out fertilizer, I really like a hand seeder. That way you can control it very well by how fast you walk. But same thing, you've got a gap there that's throwing that fertilizer out on that little propeller. And so about as big as a number two pencil will fit through it. That's what I do. Mainly, a lot of fertilizers will tell you, or the fertilizer spreader itself will tell you what number to put it on for various uses. So that's
okay.
I don't think it's a real set rule, but try the pencil trick and see how that works. Now, if it looks like it's putting out too little, double back and just do double over the area where you've just put out the fertilizer. But be careful that you just don't end up doing too much. So kind of experiment with the pencil trick and see how that works.
Okay. All right. Great questions coming in this morning, 850-437-1620. This one's from Steve. He says, good morning, Meg and Mike.
Well, good morning to you, Steve.
He says, is it too late for atrazine? If not, is it okay to use atrazine if I plan to reseed later this year?
Well, I think it's too late. I think once we get into it, now, let me put it this way. If we had constant weather like we've had the last 3 or 4 days, this gorgeous weather with the cool mornings and, you know, getting into the 70s during the day, you could probably use some atrazine, but this is not going to stay long. We're going to be in the 80s. I don't like using atrazine in the 80s. So I think I would pass on that. Plus, if you have any plans for seeding, be it centipede or Bahia or Bermuda or whatever you're going to seed on your turf, I think you want to stay as far away from atrazine as you can get this year, because what will happen, as we all know, atrazine is a pre-emergence fertilizer. It has a little bit of post-emergence activity, but it's mainly a pre-emergence, which keeps weed seeds from germinating. Well, it'll keep centipede seeds from germinating.
That's
too.
Not good, yeah.
But hey, you know, all your desirable grasses. So I think I'd back off the atrazine, one, because of the temperatures we're moving into, and two, just because if you're going to seed, then really it's time to avoid it.
Okay, we're talking with Mike Wiggins. He's clearly our expert on the expert panel with the Garden Line. Another question just came in. I don't have a name for this one, but it says, how can I get rid of fire ants in my vegetable garden?
That is tough.
I got 32 fire ant bites yesterday. Oh, my gosh, it's awful. My bag of Amdro fire ant killer states that I cannot use it with edible plants.
Yeah, if the question had been, what can I use in my lawn for fire ants, I would immediately go to Amdro.
Right.
Because Amdro has a long-term effectiveness. It goes down, it kills the queen, and the ant goes away.
The queen fire ant?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But you cannot use it on edible crops. You just can't. I think what you might try is maybe a little bit of seven dust, S-E-V-I-N, that's how you spell it, seven dust, which is an insecticide that is labeled for vegetables, if you will. Now, but there's something you got to do here. You got to look at the label, because there are different strengths of seven dust, different percentages. Usually, way back in the day, we used 5% seven dust. Well, there's stronger on the market nowadays. So look on it and be sure that it's 5% seven dust and it's labeled for your vegetable garden. It's got to say it on the label.
That it's safe.
For you to use it.
Okay.
You do. And so that's kind of where I'd go.
Okay, great questions coming in to the Garden Line this morning, 850-437-1620. And as you can see, all topics are open when it comes to gardening. So here's another question for you. I'm terrible at math, but I bought... Welcome to my world. I'm terrible at math, but I bought some azalea, camellia, gardenia fertilizer. Can I just scatter a cup-ish around the ground around the bushes? Do you water it afterwards?
Well... That's, yes, here's the Garden Line formula for that.
Okay.
It's really kind of scientific, so pay attention.
Get your pencil and pens out.
It's important. A tight handful for every foot of height.
Oh.
You have an azalea that's 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Five tight handfuls and spread it all around, especially around the edge of the planting, because you're going to get those roots that are extending, you know, away from the trunk of the plant. So, yeah, a tight handful per foot of height. Now, in the fall, you got to really do the math here, Meg.
Uh-oh.
You go a tight handful for every 2 feet of height.
Okay, now you're
getting
tricky.
You don't do it quite as strong.
getting tricky. We'll just stay in the spring, shall we?
Exactly. But I am so glad that we got that text, because we've been recommending the azalea, camellia, and mm-hmm. gardenia fertilizer, which is good for acid-loving plants.
Right.
And azaleas, camellias, and gardenias like acid soil. That's why they do so well in Pensacola, because we have an acid soil, and this fertilizer promotes the growth of those type of plants. Now, there are some things you don't want to put any of that, or you wouldn't do it anyway, on St. Augustine. I wouldn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, tight handfuls.
Okay, that's pretty easy. I think I can remember that too. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Keep those questions rolling in because we still have another half hour with the genius.
We do. I do have. Where is he? He hadn't shown up.
He's still right there.
He's still back in the research department.
Oh, yeah, he's sitting right there.
I got a nice text from Catherine.
Yes.
And saying that the News Journal this past Sunday, I think it was,
uh-huh.
had a huge article on hummingbirds.
Oh.
And I think many of us have, I think I'm the last one to see them, have been waiting for the hummingbirds. As a matter of fact.
We had some pictures last week, I think.
We did, exactly. And I just know that I gave up on them. I just said it's not going to happen this year. I don't know what the deal is, but we're not going to get any. Well, in the last 3 or 4 days, they have arrived. They're fighting like cats and dogs.
No kidding. Was it last week we had that one that came through and you said maybe it was the scout?
Yeah. We made that up.
I know, but now that they're all arrived, maybe you got the good report.
You need one scout to remember. It has to be an old scout to remember where the hummingbird feeder is located.
Yeah.
And he brings all the rest up. And I do, it's funny you mentioned that because the hummingbirds that are coming, a couple of them are, they're babies.
Oh.
They're little bitty ones. Neat.
Well, so can you tell me how I would set up? I've never had a hummingbird. Do you call it?
Feeder,
thank you. The word went right out of my head. Clearly, I've never had a hummingbird feeder.
No. Oh, it's simple. Let's get a nice hummingbird feeder.
Feeder, okay.
From any of your garden centers, big box stores. But then you mix up the nectar that goes in it. I usually go to Mary Ellen does it. She's really good at it. A 3-to-1 mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Three units of water.
Okay.
To one of sugar.
Okay.
And you put it in a pan,
mm-hmm.
stir it up, let it boil, then stir it a little bit, keep it mixed up, let it cool. Don't put it in the hummingbird feeder when it's hot.
Thank you for the details.
I know. Put it in a hummingbird feeder.
Right.
You know, put it out where they can see it, you know, and that's all you need to do.
Huh.
And just sit and wait. I like to hang mine from a wire.
Okay.
You know, so it's kind of right there in wide open spaces. And It works.
Can you put one near your house, or does it need to be further out?
Sure. No, no, not necessarily. But you don't want to jam up against the house.
Right.
You got to be able to fly to it.
I got
gotcha.
You.
See it. So.
Okay.
No.
See, we'll talk about everything here.
I like it. It's fun.
Okay, we got a bunch of questions coming in, Mike, for the next half hour. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk.
Singing in the rain, just sing.
I wish everybody could see Meg right now doing a little singing in the rain. Gene Kelly dance on the mic.
You got to. A little sidestep here. I can see him on the sidewalk with the umbrella. Can't you? All right. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and The Garden Line. This song was selected by your host, Mr. Mike Wiggins.
Well, and then we had all kinds of Texas. Please play it again.
Yes.
That is not the truth. I'll be honest with you.
Not one.
Not one.
That's okay. We're here to entertain you, okay?
Right. We'll do a little Bad Bunny or something next time. We'll try to bring it all up to date. Who knows?
Oh, funny. Okay, so we got lots of questions rolling in, so let's get to it. We've been talking about several different topics this morning, but here's a question. Can you tell me what to do with the flower stalk on an amaryllis once the bloom dies?
Yeah, that's fine. You can cut it off if you want to.
Uh-huh.
That's all you need to do. You can just cut it off. But the amaryllis have just been gorgeous.
I know. I've really seen them.
I've got some folks in my neighborhood that have planted so many of them, and they've all just been really pretty. I don't know why, just the red ones have really, really been wonderful on this time of year. I think I told you last week that our friend Skip Vogelsang, who mm-hmm. comes on the show for our Camellia show, remember
right?
We do that once a year, has kind of really gotten into propagating different amaryllis. It does a great job with it. It's all kind of different color combinations. They are a pure Pensacola perennial. You get your amaryllis, and a lot of people get them for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people give you a plant for Christmas. They give you, then you plant it in the yard. You know, it's got that what I call kind of a neck to it, and you leave that out of the ground, and it'll come year after year after year. I like sun. I think they do better in full sun. Maybe a little filtered sun would work, but I like that full sun for them. But, I just would clean it up after it blooms, and it'll be there forever.
Okay,
great. Great plant.
Okay. We've got a photo that came in from Steve in Escambia Bay. Steve, we were both looking at going, wow, he's got to talk about a garden plant.
Steve, answer your phone because Southern Living is on the phone.
Southern Living is wanting to do an article
on your yard.
Woo!
My word. Meg and I tried to figure out how big your garden is.
It's huge.
And we figured, what did we say?
30 yards?
About 60, 50,
half
60 or 70. Half a football field. But it just looked great.
It's got tomatoes.
It's a raised bed where mm-hmm. he can control the soil, control the water. His plants are doing great. And I will say this, Steve, you didn't ask the question, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your lawn in front of your vegetable garden looks terrific.
Yes.
So whatever you're doing, keep it up.
There you go.
Don't change anything. We are very proud of that. And we always are proud and grateful for your texts.
Mm-hmm.
You're a loyal listener, and we really, really appreciate it.
We do. We appreciate everybody that listens to the show and participates and sends in questions because it makes the show. It's fun.
So much fun.
Okay, now this is pretty cool. We got a text and a photo. This person that sent in says that they have and I've never seen this before, I just started a strawberry tower with 33 plants and was wondering when to fertilize and what soil to use, or do I just use ECUA compost, and peat moss and fertilizer, and then send a photo. And if you can imagine, all the strawberry plants stocked one on top of each other.
Right.
And it's a big tower. That's amazing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Wow.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah, I just have a thought on that, and it's probably more personal than it is accurate. If I was going to plant that tower with strawberries. I mean, you want it to succeed. Let's put it that way. I would be very tempted to buy the best potting soil I could find and use it. I think getting your ECUA compost, peat moss, fertilizer mixture and with the right proportions would probably work. But then again, you know, if you got it wrong, it might not be as successful as you would like. So I would buy that good bag of potting soil, something that is really good, very light soil, gives you good drainage. And then fertilizer-wise, the old timers, I am an old timer. Why do I talk like that? used to use a vegetable, commercial vegetable fertilizer called 4-12-12, which has lower nitrogen but higher phosphate and potash. A great formula for vegetables, especially strawberries. Now you won't be able to find that 4-12-12. I bet it's long gone. But find a good vegetable fertilizer. Probably buy it in a 5-pound bag, and it'll tell you how to use it. I think that was what you need. It's a good potting soil, plant healthy strawberry plants, and then use that vegetable fertilizer. I think you're going to be successful. Now, what we are asking is for you to please keep us updated.
Yes, send us a picture.
Meg and I are just amazed at how pretty that is. I've never seen one. You know what a strawberry jar looks like, Meg? You know, it's usually a clay pot with little pockets where you can plant strawberries.
I've seen that before.
But this one is...
This is pretty magnificent. So we need some photos as this...
Yeah, we need photos of the final results.
Okay.
So good luck. I think that is really, really... fascinating what you're
doing. Yeah, it's neat. Okay, got another question that says, good morning, Mike and Meg. I love this. I have some azaleas that are 8 to 10 feet tall and over 65 years old, and in parentheses, senior citizens. What is the best type of fertilizer for them? Thank you so much. I enjoy your show every week, and that's from Keith in Baker.
Yeah. Oh, Keith.
So thank you, Keith.
Baker. Yeah. Oh, great. Thanks for calling us. I would do what use the fertilizer that we talked about earlier in the show today.
Mm-hmm.
One of our callers was dealing with azalea, camellia fertilizer. Azalea ACG. Some people call it ACG fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I would use. And keep in mind, at the formula we talked about, that tight handful per foot of height, you're going to use a lot of it for those huge azaleas. You really are. So that's what I would do. That's the best fertilizer. And I think you can find that probably at most garden centers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Pensacola basic, quite frankly. A lot of people buy it in 5-pound bags. You need a bigger bag than that.
Yes.
I've seen it in 25-pound bags. I've even seen it in 50-pound bags.
I can't even imagine 10 feet tall. That's amazing.
Oh, no, that's great. That's just wonderful.
I'm laughing, though, that 65 years old part. I wonder if they make fertilizer for people. That would be helpful.
I wish I was 65 years old.
There you go.
I want it back.
To start to develop that. Forget this AI stuff. Let's get some fertilizer.
And one other thing, too, of course, if you want to, you know, just kind of prune them back a little bit and kind of clean them up, now is the time to do it because the azaleas have bloomed and we've enjoyed them. But they're going to set their buds for 2027 in July and August.
Okay.
So you don't want to wait until the end of the summer to do your pruning on it. So you could go ahead and do any of that right now, and that'd be the best thing for the plants. If you want to do it, you don't have to.
Right.
You know, you could
Sounds
enjoy,
like whatever you're doing is
you
working.
You can enjoy those big ones and fertilize them, let them grow, and enjoy
and
those blooms in
pictures.
The spring. Yeah. I wonder what kind they are.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind they are. Send us a picture because we, matter of fact, we were going to talk a little bit today about azalea colors if you were planting a garden, planting a landscape, and you wanted to plant some azaleas, which might be the best ones for you. So, send us that picture, and we'll discuss it.
Okay. We heard back from Steve at Escambia Bay. He said it's 4 beds. This is his vegetable garden, the one that's kind of elevated.
Right.
He says it's 60 feet long.
We were close.
He also says, I have 6 hummingbird feeders on my porch.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
And this is interesting. The inexpensive ones are their favorite. That's good to know. And he says he changes the water every 3 days.
Well, that is one of the secrets of feeding hummingbirds. He's absolutely right. I'm not as conscientious about that as I should be. You know, changing it every 3 days. I probably do it maybe once a week, which is probably too long, waiting too long. But we still get the hummingbirds. I bet you he has got hummingbirds everywhere. You know, and you sit and you watch them, and they just come. They fly over your head like the Blue Angels. They really do, like they're attacking you. So,
oh, I love
but
it.
Good, that is a fun hobby. If you don't have a hummingbird feeder, just one will work.
Okay.
Put it out. You'll enjoy it.
All right. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Still some time for your questions and comments, so send them on in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back right after the break on News Radio 92.3. Good morning. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Got lots of questions coming in. Sarah sent us a photo in, and she's asking about her lawn. She says, Mike, if my St. Augustine grass was fertilized about 3 weeks ago and has been watered very well, and when can I fertilize again? She said, and she sent us a photo. The grass seems very unhealthy this year and is light green and thin in some parts of the yard, or is there something else we can do to help it?
That's a great question. I looked at the picture, and of course, you know, pictures on the computer screen
don't really tell the whole story.
I will ask this question. It looked like, and this is just a picture on the computer now, a little bit of yellowing in there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if a weed and feed fertilizer was used. Now, maybe not. That's just one. That would account for some of the yellowing and even maybe some of the thinning.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put that aside. Let's just say they did not do that.
Okay.
What you can do, St. Augustine, of course, enjoys a midsummer kick, if you will, a very high nitrogen. I've got a good friend who lives in the Gulf Breeze, has one of the best lawns you ever want to see, right there on Villa Sabine, and he uses ammonium nitrate in June and July.
Oh.
Which the formula, remember we talked about 16-4-8?
Yes.
Slow release?
Mm-hmm.
Ammonium nitrate is a 33-0-0 all fast release. It can be the best thing you ever did. It can be the worst thing you ever did.
Wow.
So I would not do that yet, of course. I would save that little kick in the summer. But if it's really thin and we've had the rain, and if you've got any fertilizer left, I would not hesitate to do it again, especially now if it's a weed and feed. We put that aside. That would have been what it has caused this. I would put a light hit of some slow, very slow release, no more nitrogen than a 16%, which is that first number, and then water, and see if that doesn't perk it up. That's what I would do. Keep in mind, all the other stuff has got to be done too. You don't want to scalp it. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep mowing it high. That is really probably one of the most important things we say. Be sure your lawnmower blade is sharp. Be sure you've raked the leaves off of it. I didn't see any leaves on that picture. But do all the basic things that are going to make a grass healthy, in addition to maybe just a little bit more fertilizer, along with all the new, with watering it almost every day for a week. And let's see if that doesn't perk it up.
Okay. That sounds like great advice. Sarah, thank you for sending that question.
Thanks, Sarah.
In with
good
the
luck
photo.
To you.
Okay, you got to keep us posted on when we give the advice. We always want to see how things turn out.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Definitely send that in. 850-437-1620. Got another question, different topic. When is it a good time to trim gardenias?
After they bloom. I think that's a good idea. Whenever, you know, they're finished blooming, it might be, mid to late summer.
Uh-huh.
That's when it'd be a good time to do it.
I think it was last week that someone sent us a huge, gorgeous photo of a gardenia.
Oh, no credit. Smell good.
Oh, I love the smell.
You've got two different types of gardenias. Gardenia radicans is a dwarf gardenia.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the larger growing gardenia, which is gardenia mystery. Cool name.
Yeah.
But they do so well here.
Sounds like a movie.
But you know, sometimes gardenias will do a little yellowing,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we talked about last week. And I would either put some liquid or granular iron on it, or just come back with that fertilizer we've already talked about twice today.
Right.
The Azalea, Camellia, Gardenia fertilizer, and put a light hit of that on them to see if that doesn't perk them up. But it sounds like these gardenias that we just were talking about are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to be pruned back after the blooming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great questions coming in. 850-437-1620. Let's see. Here's one for the azaleas. It says, hey, Meg, here's one for the azaleas. it's about, goodness gracious, these plants are huge, Mike. This picture's huge. 8 to 9 feet tall. And my mom and dad planted it in the mid-1980s. And sent the photo in. This is from Keith. This is huge. Mike can't, he's on the other side of the thing, but the picture's huge.
I'll come see it. Keep
oh,
it
yeah.
on there.
Okay.
I'll
beautiful.
Walk.
Wow,
at
Keith.
At the break, I'll come over and look at it.
Golly, I didn't realize they got that big.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so used to seeing them kind of in front of offices, and, you know, we see them on the side of the road. But these, the ones y'all are sending in are just gorgeous. Huge.
Yeah. It's called the Indica azaleas.
Oh, okay.
And that's the ones that my all-time favorite large-growing azalea is Formosa, which is that magenta-like bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I like about Formosa azaleas, one, they will get huge, but I like the leaf on it. Many azaleas have leaves that are kind of a light green, kind of a washed-out in color, but Formosa is a dark green leaf.
Hmm.
And a magenta-like bloom.
Beautiful.
And it is a basic azalea for Pensacola, in my opinion. I equate Formosa azaleas with some of the parks we have.
Right.
That have
That's
azaleas
right. I've
in
seen
them.
Those, yes.
Yeah. I've even got some pictures, some old family pictures of our family standing in front of those azaleas back when I was young, so you know how long ago that was.
Not that long. Don't even fess up. Just a couple years ago, right?
No. We talked about 65 a minute ago.
Oh, yeah.
I told
okay.
you I'd kill for 65.
Okay, got another text. We're trying to get this one in before the show ends. This is from Michelle. What is the best, easiest way to propagate jasmine vines?
I'm trying to think of the best way to do that. A jasmine vine is a woody plant, and it's sometimes hard to propagate
mm-hmm.
Insofar as taking cuttings and putting it into a hormone like a root tone and starting your own. I think I've seen in some of the garden centers, you can buy little 4-inch cups of jasmine.
Oh, really?
Exactly. And that way you can plant them on, I'd say, 5-foot centers, maybe put them closer together than that, and you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But insofar as propagating them, I think that maybe it's a task. Let's put it that way.
It's maybe more trouble than it's worth from what you're saying? Or?
Well, I wouldn't put it that far. Because remember, I was opening the show, gardening, is going to help your brain. It's going to make you healthier and smarter. So,
if you want to do it,
it's fun to
try it.
It's fun to try that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wish we had more time. Did you watch 60 Minutes?
No, I did not.
This Sunday, I guess it was. Uh-huh. When they had the jasmine blooms that they use for perfume.
Oh.
And there's one city in France that grows them. And and they grow tens of thousands of these jasmine with these white blooms, and they gather them. And it was a fascinating.
Just for the one fragrance.
Yeah, just for the one
neat.
Fragrance.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the only place they do it.
Huh.
One city. They're in France.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. This is The Garden Line. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Pep Talk and The Garden Line. And we're back with The Garden Line. Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Just a couple minutes left, Mike. Catherine sent you a lovely text. She said that she said, great show today. I have very good information.
Well, I appreciate Catherine always gives us a heads up.
She's awesome.
Of what's going on, what's in the newspaper, what kind of
mm-hmm.
activities
she
are going on.
She brings things by the studio for us to read.
Oh,
I love
she
it.
She is amazing.
So thank you for all your support.
We appreciate it. Just real quick, we've got about maybe a minute. How about a quick lightning round?
You Let's ready? Go for it.
Okay, if you haven't done a soil test, you may want to do it, especially if you have St. Augustine grass, to see what your lime requirements are. If you have bought some caladiums, it's time to plant. Let's get them in the ground now. They'll be up as we get into June, and enjoy them all summer long. It's my favorite,
I know, you've mentioned that.
Roses, remember roses?
Yes, I saw some at Publix they were selling yesterday.
Exactly, but they need heavy fertilization, frequent fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say once a month. You want to fertilize your roses, keep them watered, water them from the bottom if you can so you don't get the water on the leaves,
mm-hmm.
And they'll be great. Knockout roses, you can't beat them.
It's
but
so pretty.
You may want to try some of the tea roses or the grandifloras or the floribundas. Some of those are kind of fun to grow. I hope, as I end the show, I'd like to hear maybe next week from the Rose Society.
Oh, that'd be great.
We've talked a lot about the Daylily Club and all that, but we've never talked much about the Rose Society. I'd like to know some details about that, about when they meet and all of that.
Oh,
so
great.
If you're listening, somebody, next week, let us know.
Okay, that sounds good.
Meg, it's been great. Thank you.
You're the best, Mike.
This
you're always
fun.
So informative. This is The Garden Line. We're here every Tuesday, but you can also re-listen to it on Saturday mornings. So you can check that out right here on the same station. And you can also go to our website at newsradio923.com, click on podcasts, and click on The Garden Line, and you can hear every episode.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's what a great way to spend the weekend, right?
There you go.